Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about pipelines. Russia has been supplying gas and oil to Europe over the last 20 years through a series of pipelines that it constructed that travel through a variety of different countries. And this situation has worked really well for both Russia and Europe over that period, because sending gas and oil by pipeline is the cheapest, most efficient, and most economical way of doing this, both from the supplier's point of view and from the customer's point of view. And once this infrastructure's in place, then you can sit back and let the profits roll through. And one of the problems that Russia is facing right now is that Europe is stopping the purchase of all of its gas and oil, and that means that those pipelines are now becoming redundant, and Russia is going to have to find new markets. And the two biggest markets that have been identified are India and China. And there are actually some pipelines in existence already that supply oil and gas directly into China. And I've had a lot of comments in the section over the last few months saying that Russia will simply build more pipelines and just replace all of the sales that it's losing to Europe with new pipeline sales for China and India. So in today's video, I wanted to look at the existing network of pipelines that Russia have constructed, both in Europe and across the East. We'll then have a look at which other countries around the world have been building pipelines, because Russia isn't actually the owner of the largest pipelines. So we'll see which other pipelines exist globally. We'll then have a look at some detail of the existing pipelines between Russia and China and evaluate whether or not it's possible for Russia to be able to send more volumes through those pipelines in order to replace those lost sales. We'll talk about the proposed pipeline that Russia and India have been in discussions about over the last few years. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen with regards to these pipeline sales. We'll have a look at exactly how much revenue and volume Russia is losing as a result of the European sanctions, and how easy or difficult it will be to replace those sales with new pipeline sales to India and China. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you haven't got time to watch the whole video, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and Amazon shopping links. And once again, I'd just like to say thank you so much to everybody that has supported the channel. I really appreciate it. It really gives me that kick in my stride that I need each day to keep going and making more of these videos. One of the biggest and most immediate problems facing Russia right now is the loss of all of its revenues from natural gas sales. Over the last 20 years, Europe and Russia built up a symbiotic relationship whereby Russia was providing huge volumes of gas, and the European countries were using that gas to produce electricity and also to supply it to their consumers for heating and cooking purposes. And all of that gas was sent via pipelines. And this worked really well from Russia's perspective, because it meant that all they needed to do was tap into the resources under the ground, feed the gas into the pipeline, and the flows would then go through to all of the countries, and they could sit back and let the dollars roll in. Now, following the invasion of Ukraine, most of the European countries came out and said that they no longer wanted to buy that gas. And we've now got a transition period where a lot of countries are building up their liquefied natural gas capabilities. So the only other way of getting gas, if you can't get it through a pipeline, is for the producer to liquefy that gas, so to cool it and store it under pressure, and then transport it over the sea via ships. And in order for the end user to actually be able to use it, they need to then turn that liquid back into a gas and then feed it through their network, and it can be then used by the power stations and all of the people. So over the last 7 or 8 months, Europe has been working at breakneck speed to try to put all these regasification facilities in place. Most of them are floating, so these are basically large tankers that have the ability to convert that liquid into a gas, and then pipes run from those ships into the network and feed everybody. And at the same time that that's been happening, all of the European countries have also been filling their storage capacity. So these are generally large underground caverns, Maybe it's an old salt mine or something of that nature, in which gas is stored at pressure so that it can be used at some point over the winter period. So that's what's been happening from the consumer's point of view. But from Russia's point of view, the loss of all of these gas sales is a complete disaster because Russia has got very complacent over the last 20 years. It's built a couple of liquefied natural gas facilities, but nowhere near enough to be able to handle a conversion of all of its gas into LNG. So what that means for Russia is as these pipelines are becoming redundant and it's losing all of the revenue, it can't convert that gas into the only other saleable form, the liquefied form, because it doesn't have the capability to be able to do so. And in order to build more liquefied natural gas processing facilities, Russia will need tens of billions of dollars, possibly even hundreds of billions of dollars, and it doesn't have access to that capital. Firstly, its revenues are declining right now, so it doesn't have any free cash. Secondly, it lost all of its trading relationships when all of the oil and gas majors pulled out of the country following the invasion. And thirdly, it doesn't have access to the technical capabilities. It's lost access to a lot of technology because of the sanctions. So it's a triple whammy from Russia's point of view. So the only real alternative that Russia has right now is to build more pipelines to send the gas to the east rather than sending it to the west. And that's really the point of this video, to talk about what pipelines exist right now, look at how much it will cost to build new pipelines, and see whether or not it's feasible for Russia to be able to just divert its sales to India and China. And before we go on any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Atlas VPN, and to tell you about their amazing Black Friday deal. If you use the internet without any form of protection, you leave yourself exposed to tracking, hacking, and advertising. Using Atlas VPN protects you from all of these. Atlas VPN provides you with comprehensive security and is used by more than 6 million people worldwide. So it's great news that you can stop hacking and tracking and data breaches. But Atlas VPN can also save you money and open up a whole world of entertainment because it allows you to change your location, which gives you the opportunity to get better deals and to access content that may not be available in your region. Atlas VPN is available to use on unlimited devices for one subscription and is currently offering a fantastic Black Friday deal where you get Atlas VPN Premium for just $1.70 per month plus 6 months extra with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Now, this is the best deal that Atlas VPN have offered this year. To steal this exclusive Joe Bloggs Black Friday deal, click on the description in the link below. Now, this map shows the major gas pipelines that Russia has built that supply gas in its natural form to its end-user markets in Europe. Now, the biggest and highest profile of these pipelines are the Nord Stream pipelines, the first of which was completed over 10 years ago and supplies gas directly from Russia to Germany. A Nord Stream 1 has a capacity of 55 billion cubic meters of gas per year. And because that scheme was so successful and Germany had an increasing demand for gas, Russia decided to build a second pipeline called Nord Stream 2, which was completed towards the end of 2021. However, it never became operational because the USA was concerned that Europe was becoming far too dependent on Russian gas supplies and that this would provide Russia with political leverage in the event of some form of geopolitical issue, such as an invasion of Ukraine. Now, as I'm sure you'll be aware if you follow the channel, the flows through Nord Stream 1 were reduced significantly over the course of the summer period, and explosions took place on both pipelines at the end of September, and both pipelines were ruptured and are no longer operational. So the 55 billion cubic meters of gas that Russia was previously selling to Germany have stopped entirely now. The second largest gas pipeline constructed by Russia is the Yamal, which has an annual capacity of 33 billion cubic meters and previously supplied large volumes of gas directly to Poland and Germany. Now, the gas flows to Poland were actually switched off a number of months ago after Poland refused to make payments in rubles, which was demanded by President Putin. But currently, Germany is still being supplied with gas. However, the volumes are falling significantly. The next largest series of pipelines actually go through Ukraine itself, and there are three major pipelines that do that. And at certain periods during the war, the flows have been disrupted. The Ukrainian authorities actually intercepted one of the pipelines at one point because they claimed that Russian military in the occupied areas were using that gas for their own purposes. And flows have been fluctuating up and down throughout the whole of the war. The other two major pipelines shown in this chart are TurkStream and BlueStream, both of which go to Turkey, which has remained entirely neutral throughout the whole conflict and is still happily buying gas from Russia. And I've actually made a separate video on this issue because President Putin recently suggested that Turkey should establish itself as a hub and sell Russian gas onto Europe. Now, I don't think that's going to work because Europe can see that Turkey doesn't actually have any of its own gas that it can export. And so if that gas is Russian gas, European countries will not want to buy it because it doesn't achieve the objective of the sanctions, which is to stop Russia earning major amounts of revenue in order to encourage them to stop the war in Ukraine. But the reason that I wanted to highlight this is that the TurkStream pipeline is actually two pipelines, TurkStream 1 and TurkStream 2. And one of those pipelines was established to actually supply Europe. So you can see here on this chart that there was an intention for the pipeline to actually be extended further into Europe so that it could then supply all of those countries. And the total volume of gas flowing through the TurkStream pipeline that feeds Europe is 16 billion cubic meters. So if we look at the total volume of gas sales that Russia is losing, the entire Nord Stream facilities have gone. Yamal is 33 billion cubic meters. The gas flowing through Ukraine is 40 billion cubic meters. And the gas from TurkStream 1 is 16 billion. So that equates to a total of 144 billion cubic meters per year, which represents 82% of all of the gas being sold into Europe. Now in 2021, the total revenue that Russia earned from European gas sales was $43 billion. So these lost sales equate to $35 billion worth of revenue, which is an enormous chunk of cash for Russia to be losing. Now, alongside gas, Russia also exports large quantities of oil via pipelines. And to put this into context, I thought it was worth looking at what's been going on with regards to Russian exports of oil. This chart shows Russian crude exports that have been sent via the sea over the last 18 months or so. And you can see that in September, the total amount exported was around 3 million barrels per day, which actually represents the lowest amount that Russia has exported since the start of the war. You can see that in March, April, May, and June, there was a big increase in the total volumes, and at one point it was close to 4 million barrels per day. But over the course of the last few months, we've seen a reduction, partly as a result of the sanctions, so countries are making a specific choice not to buy Russian oil, and partly because we've seen a slowdown in the global economy. But the reason I wanted to show this is to put things into perspective, because in addition to these sales, Russia is also selling around 1 million barrels of oil per day to Europe and around 700,000 barrels per day to China through pipelines. So an additional 1.7 million barrels are being sold through the pipelines on top of this 3 million. So that means that the pipeline sales equate to somewhere in the region of 45% of all of Russia's revenues. And this chart shows the network of oil pipelines that have been constructed by Russia. Now, the Druzhba pipeline is one of the longest in the world. It runs through most of Russia. And it comes into Europe, but has a variety of different branches, which take oil to some of the major refineries in Europe. And you can see here that the pipeline runs all the way through to Germany, and it goes to the coastline. Because for countries that have coastlines, it's the most convenient place to situate them, because then you can load all of the refined product directly onto ships and then export it to other countries. So the reason that I wanted to share this with you was really to show the infrastructure that Russia has built up over the last 20 years and how convenient it is for all of these countries to be able to receive oil directly through the pipeline. Because once again, this is the cheapest and most efficient way of sending oil, because Russia can link the pipelines directly to its production facilities, and then the oil flows all the way through directly to the refineries in the end user countries, and it is a very nice arrangement. But unfortunately, because of the sanctions that are now being imposed by all of these European countries, all of these pipelines are going to become redundant, and Russia is going to need to find more markets to replace the million barrels of oil per day that are flowing directly through all these pipes. As I mentioned at the start of the video, Russia isn't the country that has the most oil or gas pipelines in the world. This map shows the global infrastructure of pipelines for oil and gas transmission. And as you can see from the chart on the left, the predominant use of pipelines is for gas, representing around 84% of all of these pipelines, and oil represents around 16%. And you can see from the global map that the highest density of pipelines is in North America and Europe. However, there's also a significant amount of gas pipelines in Asia and Australia, and a growing number in South America. Now, if we look at this table, it shows the top 10 countries by length of gas pipelines in the world. And you can see that the USA is by far the largest and has constructed over 206,000 miles of gas pipeline. Russia is number two on the list, having constructed around 58,000 miles of pipeline. Canada comes in at number three with 53,000 miles. China is number four with 47,000 miles. And India is a distant five with 14,000 miles. Now, interestingly, Ukraine is number eight on this list. However, the pipelines that have been constructed are Russian and simply run through the Ukraine territory. Now, this chart shows the total length of pipelines that have been constructed for oil transmission. And once again, you can see that the USA tops the list and has constructed over 56,000 miles of pipeline, which is considerably less than the 206,000 of gas pipelines that it has. Russia comes in at number two with 23,000 miles, China number three with 16,000, Canada number four with 14,000, Libya's at number five with 5,500 miles, and India comes in at number six. In terms of sending gas in its natural form to China, Russia has built a pipeline called the Power of Siberia, which it's reported to have invested $55 billion into. This map shows the massive scale of this pipeline. The concept of this pipeline was originally discussed back in 2007. However, it took 7 years for the contract to actually be signed. And in 2014, China signed a 30-year deal worth $400 billion. Construction of the pipeline commenced in June 2015, but it was another 4.5 years until December 2019 until the first gas was delivered to China. However, the volume of gas being exported from Russia to China is relatively small. And since December 2019, the total value of exports equates to $3.8 billion. Now, the pace of Chinese purchases has increased in the first half of 2022 and has nearly tripled from this time last year to around $1.6 billion. But publicly available information shows that China's gas imports from Turkmenistan over the same period were far higher at $4.25 billion, which is up 52% from this time last year. Now, this map shows that Russia are currently working on an expansion of the existing gas pipeline and are proposing that the pipeline will ultimately be able to deliver gas directly to Shanghai. And it's forecast that the volumes of gas that can be delivered will be increased from 4 billion cubic meters per year to 38 billion cubic meters per year. And just to put that into perspective, the Nord Stream pipeline, which we looked at earlier, had a capacity of 55 billion cubic meters. So even when this extension is completed and the volumes start to increase, it will still only represent around 70% of the Nord Stream pipeline that was sending gas to Germany. This map shows the Eastern Siberia Pacific Ocean, or ESPO, oil pipeline that delivers Russian oil directly to China. Construction of the pipeline started in 2009, and the first units of oil were delivered to China in 2011. The total length of the pipeline is over 3,000 miles long. This is one of the longest pipelines in the world, and it has the capacity to deliver 1 million barrels of oil per day. However, the current volumes that are passing through this pipeline are around 700,000 barrels per day. Now, in terms of pipeline supplies to India from Russia, there are currently no facilities in place. There were some discussions that were taking place over the last 10 years. Russia was considering building a significant pipeline that would move through a number of different countries, including Pakistan. However, those discussions were subsequently abandoned, and Gazprom issued a statement that it was too capital intensive, so basically too expensive to be able to construct this pipeline. So as a result of this, it means that any future expansion in the trading relationship between Russia and India for both oil and gas will have to focus entirely on shipping. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think there's a lot of confusion in terms of pipeline transmission. A lot of people seem to think that it's very easy and quick for Russia to be able to put these pipelines in place and replace all of the oil and gas transmission for Europe with additional sales to China and India. So what I wanted to achieve in this video is really to show you the level of infrastructure that's currently in place in Europe and Asia from Russia's side of things, and to evaluate whether or not Russia will be able to pivot and just send all of these future flows directly to China and India. And hopefully what you've seen today is that it's going to be impossible for Russia to be able to do that. Over the last 20 years, Russia has built a significant amount of pipelines for both gas and oil into Europe. And prior to the invasion of Ukraine, Russia was exporting 144 billion cubic meters of gas, which is worth around $35 billion, and 1 million barrels of oil per day, which is valued at around $36.5 billion, through its pipelines. So as a result of the sanctions, Russia is going to lose around $76 billion of revenue from these previous pipeline sales. Now, when you look at what pipelines are currently in place, firstly, if we talk about India, there are no pipelines in place, so it's a very simple discussion. It's impossible for Russia to be able to send those volumes through any pipelines because they don't exist. So that means that Russia will need to use shipping in order to send exports of gas and oil. Now, as I've discussed on a number of occasions, Russia doesn't have the capacity to be able to convert the gas into LNG to be able to send to India. So it's impossible to be able to do that. So the $35 billion worth of gas sales that it's losing from Europe, the only hope that it has is that it can send that directly to China, because it can't convert it to LNG. It's impossible. Now, obviously, it is physically possible for Russia to send oil directly to India, and it has been doing that. But in order to replace the 1 million barrels of oil per day that it's losing, it will need hundreds of additional ships to be able to do that. And there's a real capacity problem right now globally. There aren't enough ships around. And also the other problem that Russia's facing is that it needs to provide insurance for those ships. And most of the insurers are based in the West, and they've sanctioned Russia. And Russia is now facing the real possibility of an oil price cap being applied against it. So from a practical point of view, it's going to be very difficult for Russia to be able to replace the lost sales with more sales to India. So that means from a pipeline point of view, the only option available to Russia is to try to send more volume through the pipelines that exist with China. But the problem that Russia has is that in order to do that, it will need to build a large number of additional pipelines. And that is going to cost tens of billions of dollars. As I just mentioned, they've spent $55 billion so far on the existing pipelines. And the revenue that they're receiving through those pipelines is very small. Now, President Putin recently came out and said that he was going to construct a new gas pipeline that will replace Nord Stream 2. But the total capacity of that pipeline is only around 70% of Nord Stream 2. It hasn't actually been constructed yet, so it doesn't exist. So it can't replace the lost revenue that they're getting from Nord Stream 2. But in addition to Nord Stream 2, they're also losing all of their volumes and revenue from the Yamal pipeline and the Turkstream pipeline and the Ukrainian pipelines. So in total, they've lost $144 billion, and they're hoping to put $38 billion in place to replace that. So on a net basis, that's a loss of over 100 billion cubic meters of gas. So on a best case scenario, that would equate to a loss of around $25 billion of revenue. But that's only once that pipeline's open, and that's years away from happening. And this is only the gas that I'm talking about. When you factor in the oil side of things, Russia is also looking at losing another $36 billion worth of revenue from oil sales, and it's physically impossible to be able to send that volume of oil down the pipeline to China, because that pipeline is already running towards maximum capacity. So in order to replace those lost sales, Russia will need to build more pipelines. And this is all coming at a time when Russia has lost all of its trading partners. So it won't be able to talk to any of the oil majors because they don't want to deal with Russia. So the only option that it has is to talk to China. And from what I'm hearing, China is saying to Russia, you can construct these pipelines at your cost. You pay for it, and then we will buy the oil and gas. And that's going to present a major problem for Russia, because they don't have the capital right now to be able to invest into those projects. Its revenues are declining. It's under major pressure. So it needs overseas partners to come in and help it out. That's what's happened over the last 30 years. It got into bed with a lot of the oil majors who paid for all of these facilities and let Russia have a share of the revenues. China is not going to do that. They want Russia to pay, and Russia doesn't have the cash. So it's going to be a major problem. So the reason that I wanted to post this video was really to show you that the pipelines that have been constructed by Russia are predominantly in Europe. That's where they've been focusing most of their capital, most of their infrastructure. All of those pipelines are now redundant, and going forward, it will need to build new pipelines. It needs to find a way of financing that. That's a problem. It needs time to be able to build these facilities, and then it needs China to actually say it wants to buy this energy. And as we talked about earlier, it's actually been buying more gas from Turkmenistan than it has from Russia. Now, Russia obviously has bigger facilities and bigger storage, but China doesn't want to deal with Russia. It wanted to deal with Turkmenistan. So there's no guarantee going forward that China will actually buy the volume of oil that Russia needs to sell, or gas, because China may decide that it's not in its interest to do so politically. So the overall summary from this video is that Russia is facing an enormous loss of revenue and volume of sales over the course of the next 2 to 3 years, and that is going to have a devastating impact on the Russian economy. It's likely that we will see the Russian economy falling by a double-digit level in 2022, possibly even 2023, and maybe even 2024. And that's going to be an absolute disaster. So hopefully you found this video useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said today, if you've liked the data that I've shared with you, please give me that thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.